Shalom uvecha to all. Welcome back to the OU All Parsha app. This week's Parsha is Parshas Re'eh. In Parshas Re'eh, we have an interesting phenomenon, and that is that the Torah describes the location of the Beit HaMikdash as Hamakom. It does not list the place to where you are going. It just calls it the place. This actually occurs at least 14 times in Parshas Re'eh alone. For example, Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Hey. Ki im el hamakom asher yivchar sham elokecha mikol shivtechem lasum ashmo sham l'shichno sizrushu uvaso shama. Rather, only at the place that Hashem your God has chosen from all your tribes, the place is named there, you shall seek out his resting place and you shall come there. And Rashi says, Zemishkan Shilo. So we see that it is a place where we will worship God, but it is not referred to as a specific place, only hamakom. Furthermore, a few psukim later, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph, I'm just showing page of my Chamesh, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph, V'haya ha-makom, asher yivchar sham elkechem bo l'shakin shmo sham, shama taviu es kol asher anochi mitzah v'eschem, v'lasechem v'zivchechem v'asvasechem, and only to the place where Hashem has chosen to dwell his presence there, there you should bring everything that I command you, and your Ola, and your Zvachim, and your Meiser. Then, Pasuk Yud Dalet, a few psukim later, Ki im b'makom asher yivchar sham elokecha ba'chad shuvatecha sham tala olasecha v'sham tasa kol asher anochi mitzavka. Only to the place that Hashem has chosen amongst one of your tribes, there you should offer your ola offerings. There you should do like everything that I am commanded you. A few psukim later, pasuk yud ches, we're still in Perek Yud Beis. Pasuk yud ches ki im lifnei Hashem elokecha tochlenu b'makom asher yivchar sham elokecha bo atu vincha v'itecha v'avdecha v'amasecha v'alevi asher b'sherecha v'samach lifnei Hashem elokecha b'chol mishlach yadecha. So when you have to eat what you only is allowed, what is only allowed to be eaten in Yerushalayim, the Meiser, the previous pasuk tells us the Meiser of your grain, the Meiser of your wine, the Meiser of your oil, etc. But where does all of this have to be eaten? B'makom asher yivchar sham elokecha. So why doesn't it say Al Har Tzion? Why doesn't it say in Yerushalayim? Why doesn't it say on Har Habayis? Why is it ambiguous? One more pasuk in Perek Yud Beis. Ki yirchak mimcha hamakom asher yivchar sham elokecha. L'asum shmo sham. Let's say the place that Hashem is choosing to dwell his presence is far away from you. Okay. So I'm now going to quote, it's very unusual, it's very interesting. Why doesn't the Torah identify the place where God has chosen to dwell his presence, which is Har Tzion in Yerushalayim on Har Habayis? I'm quoting from Rabbi Shalom Rosner in the Sefer Shalom Rav, Volume 2. At least 14 times in Parshas Re'eh, the Torah refers to a location that is not explicitly named. It is clearly referring to the location of the Beit HaMikdash, but it uses the phrase, Makom Asher Yivchar, the place that God will choose. Why is the location of the Beit HaMikdash not made explicit? The Torah could have referred to the location as Har HaMoriah, says Rabbi Rosner. When Avram was instructed to journey there, it says, Kachnas bin chasichid chashar hafda, v'lechecha el eretz ha-moriah, alecha lari mishar ha-mariyaka. So why here is it not identified? Tell us where we're supposed to go. What is this ambiguous hamakom? So he quotes the Rambam. The Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim offers three explanations as to why the location of the Beit HaMikdash is not explicitly disclosed to us in the Torah. First, according to the Rambam, the first explanation is so that the other nations will not know the location of the holiest place on earth. Because if they know the holiest place on earth, they will try to prevent the Bnei Yisrael from being able to conquer and establish a presence in the vicinity of this holy mountain and holy city. How powerful are those words? Listen again. The first explanation of the Rambam, Maimonides, is Moreh Nevuchim, so that the other nations will not know the location of the holiest place on earth. So they will not try to prevent the Bnei Yisrael from being able to conquer and establish a presence in the vicinity. We see the words of the Rambam unfolding before our eyes in our day and time and in the last decades. Once the location of this holy place became known, exactly what the Ummah Sha'olam do today. They try to prevent us from establishing a presence. They want a divided, or I should say conquered Jerusalem. We know that this is true. Says Rabbi Rosner, isn't it fascinating? Now that the location is known, how prophetic are the words of the Rambam? How many religions are fighting over Temple Mount? Secondly, and also I just something that I stress all the time, something that I feel all the time, Torah is so profound and so prophetic. It's really Nevuah Shehutzuchu LeDoros. It is a prophecy for the generations. In the divinity of Torah, we learn so many lessons that are relevant for each and every time epoch in which Jews live throughout history. Second, If the other nations would know the location of the future Beit HaMikdash, says Rabbi Wasner, the place where Jews will come to serve their God, they would defile the place. We know Epistemus, the Mishnah tells them, Mishnah Tainis, Perek Dal Mishnah Vav. Epistemus put a tzelem behecha. He burned the Sefer Torah and put a tzelem behecha. These are the two of the tragedies that the Mishnah says occurred to our forefathers in the calamitous time of Rachman al-Litzan, the 3 weeks. We don't know exactly who Epistemus was and in which time period he lived. This is one of the 5 calamities that befell our forefathers on Shivas or Batamas. The commentators are divided. Was he in the first temple period, second temple period? We're not exactly sure. The time of the Yevanim Belamaisa, whoever he was, he defiled the holy space. He put a tzelem behecha. He came and he put an avodah zarah into the holy space of the Beit HaMikdash. He burned the Sefer Torah. This is utter defilement of God's holy space. And that's what the Rambam writes. If the other nations would know the location of the future Beit HaMikdash, the place where Jews would come serve their God, they would defile the place. Again, history has proven what the Rambam expressed as a threat. One of the gates leading to the old city of Jerusalem today is called Shar HaAshpot, the Dung, D-U-N-G, the Dung Gate. Legend has it that in the time of the Byzantines, garbage was thrown from there up into the Temple Mount to prevent the Jews from praying there. That's why it's called the Dung Gate, Shar HaAshpot, because they would throw garbage from there onto Temple Mount. They would defile the Temple Mount so Jews could not go to Daven. In most recent times, says Rabbi Wasner, prior to the establishment of the modern state of Israel, the area was full of litter and filth. So not only reason number one, do they want us to prevent us from taking control of ownership of coming to our holy place, but two, they go further, they defile it with dung and garbage and filth to ensure we won't be able to pray and worship in this place. And the third reason, says Rabbi Wasner, actually has to do with the inner workings of Bnei Yisrael. The first two have to do with our external foes. One, they want us to prevent us from reaching the holy place, so the Torah covers up the holy place and only says Hamakom. Two, they want to defile it with filth, whether it's physical filth and garbage and dung, or it is the spiritual filth of Avodah Zarah. The third reason has to do with Klal Yisrael, not the Umas HaOlam. The Rambam says, thirdly, if we knew the location of the Beit HaMikdash at the time, meaning going back to biblical and temple times, all the tribes would have wanted their tribe to be granted that territory. When Moshe is dividing the land at the end of his life, every tribe is going to want the portion where the Beit HaMikdash will be. It would have created, quote, an inner conflict. This is why the mitzvah to erect the Beit HaMikdash may only be fulfilled after a king is anointed, as the king would be able to control the people and hopefully prevent fighting over the location of the Beit HaMikdash and the ownership of that territory. And he quotes here, he references Masechet Sanhedrin that discusses this. So 3 reasons are given by the Rambam, and we see how relevant they all are today. 1, we do not want the nations of the world to know our holiest spaces. They will not want us to conquer or own. And when we look today at the holy spaces in Eretz Yisrael, Arad Hamach Peda, Kiryat Arba, Hi Chevron, Kever Rachel. I remember as a child, I remember what Kever Rachel looked like. You just drove up. I remember the Arab shops across the street, the few soldiers who sat in the front. I'm sure some of the listeners remember as well what Kever Rachel used to look like. It wasn't a fortress, it was a small building. And you saw the arch of Kever Rachel. Today it looks like a military compound, it looks like a military base. Kiryat Arba Hi Chevron, the Marwad Machpelah. Arbayat. Shechem, the place where Yosef was buried. The holier a place is, the more the nations of the world will work against us to prevent us from reaching that place. 2, the holier a place is, they will layer and heap filth, excrement, dung, avodah zarah. Not only so we should not access the place, but they want to defile it with their impurity. And we see these 2 things true today. They want to prevent us from having access to our holy spaces. And they want to defile our holy spaces. And the third reason has to do with Ben Adam Lechaveiro. Hashem said, I'm not going to reveal it, so there shouldn't be infighting. What a lesson we have to take from that. We have to learn how to get along. Am Yisrael, with all of its different factions and different types of Jews, and different sects of Jews, S-E-C-T-S. We need to learn that when there's holiness, and Klal Yisrael is an Am Kadosh, Atal Hashem Elkecha, we need to access, capitalize upon, maximize, grow that holiness. And that can only happen when there's been Adam Mechaveiro, Ahavas Achim Vatla Recha Kamocha, Amar Rabbi Kiva Zakal Godova Torah. Concludes Rabbi Rosner, for these three reasons, the specific occasion of the Beit HaMikdash was left undisclosed until just before it was built. And that's why the Torah refers to it as Hamakom, to teach us these three lessons. Today, says Rabbi Rosner, we not only know the location of the Beit HaMikdash, we are privileged after 2,000 years to once again return to that exact site. Unfortunately, though, he says, the Temple Mount still lays in a state of defilement. May we merit experiencing a complete redemption and witness the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash in our lifetime. To that, I will say, Amen v'Amen. Halavai v'shu bizocha. These lessons ring so true. The nations of the world will always fight against our Kedusha in whatever way possible to prevent us from coming closer to God and from spreading the light of holiness in the world. We must work together as a nation to counteract their evil, their poison, their defilement. And that we will be Mekadosh Shem Shemayim. And then, like Rabbi Rosner says, perhaps we will experience the complete redemption and the building of the third Beit HaMikdash in our day, in our time. Kol Tov, Besuros Tovos, and thank you to all.